With its dazzling technical advances and sophisticated medicines, healthcare increasingly frustrates Americans. Patients must contend with a system that won't pay for some treatments, long waiting lists, rushed visits with doctors, copious paperwork, and of course the ever-soaring cost of medical coverage and medications. Many doctors and nurses feel trapped in a structure they say sometimes prevents them from providing adequate care to their patients. One couple, both researchers at Harvard Medical School and both internists practicing at Cambridge Hospital in Massachusetts, are leaders in the movement among medical professionals to reform healthcare in America. Together, they founded Physicians for a National Health Program in 1987, which aims for a system where everyone is covered. I met Dr. Steffi Woolhandler and Dr. David Himmelstein at the hospital.
Well, believe it or not, it's not that unusual for social medicine projects, social medicine work to be done by couples. It encompasses both medicine, economics, an understanding of society. And because the field is so large and there's such a large sort of knowledge base that you need, there's actually quite an advantage of having a team working on it.
Part of the reason that we came together as a couple is because we shared an orientation to social justice and political action from our growing up in the 60s and having been active in civil rights movement and political activities before, and thinking about society as something that one needs to work on and change. And as young doctors, I think neither of us started out to work on health policy as what we wanted to do. But in a way, the health policy work almost is a form of anger management, that when you try and take care of patients, what you find is that the healthcare system won't let you do it. And that's particularly true for poor patients, that there are so many barriers to actually taking adequate care of poor patients, that without trying to change the circumstances under which we practiced, we found that there was just no way of actually doing what needed to be done. But as we've gone on, or as I've gone on, found that's not just true for poor people. That's true also for my middle-class patients and even some of the upper-class patients whom I've taken care of in the more recent times of my career.
So are those frustrations, the limitations on being able to care for people imposed by the health system, topics that you compare notes on in your when you're not wearing white coats?
It's more commonly when we're running together, actually. We're both runners and often run together, and a lot of the research and advocacy efforts actually get discussed then.
Yeah. We usually have meals with our children, and they cover their ears and scream when we start to talk about health policy.
Is it just thoroughly boring to them?
Absolutely.
Going to the hospital can be stressful for any patient. Too often, financial worries and health insurance complexities add to the burden of someone who's feeling ill under the prevailing medical system. It can be particularly scary for the growing population of Americans who lack health care coverage.
Well, there's 46 million Americans who have no health insurance. They're predominantly people under the age of 65, since most Americans would be eligible for Medicare when they turn 65 and hence have some insurance. They are primarily working people and their families. The uninsured in the United States were primarily working poor, working middle-income people who earn too much money to be eligible for Medicaid, the program that covers some of the poor, but too little money to be able to afford health insurance.
For instance, doctors are often self-employed, and if you're not part of a large group and if you have a pre-existing illness, it can be tough to get insurance that's affordable or even insurance at all. So colleagues have come to us telling us they have diabetes. They're making $100,000 a year, $140,000 a year, but can't buy coverage at essentially any price because the insurance company says to them, we know you're sick. We know you're going to be expensive. You're not part of a larger group, and that's not a risk we're willing to cover.
How rare is it for physicians to be ineligible for health coverage?
Oh, probably 3 or 4% of doctors in the country are uninsured. Probably about 10% of pastors in the country are uninsured. So, again, many ministers are not part of a large group. They're not high-income people. Particularly if they have some already chronic illness, insurance companies say to them, you're just not someone we're prepared to cover. Among virtually every occupational group that we've looked at, there are some uninsured people. The only exception we've been able to find is legislators and members of Congress. They seem to be 100% covered, as are all the governors and members of the executive branch in Washington.
And is that a statistical fluke?
We don't think so. We've actually analyzed the Census Bureau data on the uninsured for many years, and we've yet to find a legislator or a governor who's uninsured.